Hey everybody, we are receiving encouragement in this series from the letter of 1 Thessalonians. And what we're reading in this portion of Paul's first letter to these Thessalonian Christians speaks to a reality that every single one of us faces every day. Seasons of trial are also moments of truth. Let's talk more about that by diving into this portion of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians, we're starting in chapter 2, verse 17. Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts had never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when He returns? It is you," Paul writes. "Yes, you are our pride and joy." Now, Paul was a greatly educated man with a brilliant mind, and whether they're Christians or not, scholars admire the depth of Paul's intellect as well as his masterful use of language and logic in these New Testament letters. But as we see right here, Paul was also a man with a large heart, a pastor's heart. A piece of him was still back in Thessalonica. He cared for this group of new Christians and he missed them. And I gotta say, I'm right there with Paul on this point, and it hits all the feels for me. Circumstances had created a forced separation between Paul and his congregation. And as this COVID-19 pandemic has done much the same between us, I have to say this has been one of the strangest and most difficult 4.5 months of my ministry. I've made many, many calls, sent and received so many texts and emails to stay in contact with all of you. I'm seeing more and more of you in person now on Sunday mornings, and that's awesome, but I'm still concerned every day with every one of our outlookers, and I'm wondering how you're doing and how you're hanging in there spiritually. Without the steady, open, easy practice of weekly worship, our online options are great, but they're also, can we be honest, easy to skip nowadays, and they're just not quite the same. Without the presence and encouragement of your fellow outlookers, without the power of that communion moment each Sunday, are you standing strong against your addictions? Is your marriage thriving or barely surviving? Are temptations or complacency or anger or narrowness or indulgence starting to gain some traction? These are the thoughts and questions I have as I think about each of you. And in fact, I brought these cards with me. It's just a little bit of an object lesson. I keep them on my desk here at church, and I go through them a lot. It's one card for every Outlook household. And so I pray for you. I think about when's the last time I've seen you, and maybe what's the best way I can reach out to you. I may not know everybody as well or equally. I know some people a little bit more personally than I do others. I suppose with a church our size, that's only natural. But I care about and pray and think about every one of you. Like Paul and these Thessalonians, we've been away from each other. So I would invite you, if you want, send me a message. Jump on our website. You can see how to best contact me on our staff page. I would love to hear from you, whether it's dropping me a note or sending me an email. I promise I'll return every message. I would love to hear how you're doing. Paul states here that he very much wants to see these Christians in person as soon as possible. But, he says, Satan prevented us. Now, the verb here for prevented means literally to block a path. Now, what obstacles this adversary, Satan means adversary, what obstacles this adversary had placed in Paul's path, we can only guess. But we know one thing. obstacles are made to be overcome. It is Satan's work to put up roadblocks, and it's our work to plow through them. Let's apply this a little bit further, what's happening here at this moment in the letter. As Paul is writing it, we may look at that situation and say that Satan seems victorious. He is keeping Paul from where Paul wants to go and what Paul wants to do in reaching these Christians so he can encourage them in person. Paul's got to write this letter instead of gathering with them in person. So it might seem as though Satan has won. But this is far from the end of the story. Paul presses on, as Paul is good at doing, and he does eventually get back to Thessalonica. Paul pressed on, and so can we. Whatever obstacle is in front of you right now, impeding you from accomplishing all you sense God has in mind for you to do, whatever roadblock is keeping you from fulfilling God's purpose for you today, this week, this year, your story is far from over. Remember this, the obstacle and the one who places it there only win when we give up. So don't give up. Now, speaking just for a moment here as kind of an aside about our own forced separation, so to speak, thanks to the pandemic, this is a good time to say, or at least as good a time as any to say, that I don't interpret our current predicament regarding COVID and the restrictions and the guidance regarding whether we should gather or not gather or face masks or social distancing, I don't interpret any of that as persecution of the church. Instead, I just see it as life in a fallen and unpredictable world. I'm happy to say that we resumed on-campus gatherings as soon as it was deemed feasible. And lots of great ministry has been happening in and from and between all of us as Outlookers. Believe me, if I or our elders or our ministers ever thought that our state's directives were an impediment of our religious expression, we would have ignored them. Let's get back to Paul. Now we're in chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, Paul says, when we could not stand it any longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He's our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. Now, as we've said earlier in the series, Paul is writing this letter from a city called Corinth. But in between leaving Thessalonica and arriving in Corinth, he has been in Athens. And while he was in Athens, he's letting us know, he chose to send Timothy back to Thessalonica. He decided that being left alone in Athens was worth it, though it would take a practical toll on him as well as an emotional one. But so deep was his affection for these Christians that ignorance of their welfare in their time of trouble was intolerable to him. He needed to know. He sends Timothy to strengthen them. That word literally means to solidify against difficulty or amidst difficulty. So he sends Timothy there to firm them up in their faith. He sends Timothy there to encourage them, he says. We've talked a lot about that. Encourage means that I come alongside you and you come alongside me. And he does that so that their faith will not be shaken or unsettled. Now, interestingly, the original word in the Greek here is only used once in the Bible, and it's right here. And it means the wagging of a dog's tail. It means to be unstable, or wavering, to wag back and forth. He says, we don't want you to feel that way. We don't want to be shaken or unsettled or to waver. And he says, this is because of all your troubles. Not just persecutions, but troubles in a larger sense, afflictions and tensions and pressures, of all the stressors in life, he says, they all can unsettle us. They can shake us if we let them. He wanted to see them solid amidst such troubles. We've had our share of trouble in 2020, to be sure. And faith can be hard to keep in times of trouble. We can slip gradually at first, but then find ourselves far off course, far off the way. Maybe you've started to feel like that. You know, as we entered this into this trial season of trial back in March, you might have felt good and strong. But maybe lately, as it's wearing on and on with no real sign of a turn ahead, you may feel your faith slipping off the tracks a little bit. You may feel your discipline or your nearness to the Lord or your love for other people or your love for yourself or your love for God starting to slip. It happens to all of us because seasons of trial are moments of truth. They're moments that show us what we're made of, and we all have weak points, and those will begin to come out in seasons like this. We need to bring them to the Lord. A hard-won faith can still be lost. A grip that was once firm can begin to slip. Paul says in verse 3, the last half of verse 3, "But you know that we're destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know." See, encouragement doesn't shield us from hard truths. And so we see here that Paul was not afraid to warn these Christians that things are going to be tough. He did not paint a rosy picture all the time of what it means to follow Jesus. He gave them a heads up that life with Jesus is not always easier. Sometimes it's harder. We shouldn't be afraid of hard truths ourselves. And in the last series that we finished a couple of weeks ago, we spent time in that series talking about the hard issues of race and racism that we're wrestling with as a country. And I got feedback from a couple people who flat out told me, "You really shouldn't be talking about that in church. It's discouraging, and it has no place here as we are talking about Jesus and the gospel." Now, clearly I see things a little differently, and I have to remind us that it's the hard truths that are sometimes the ones we need to hear most of all. Friends, these are not easy things we're facing, but we have to remember that we were wrong to ever expect easy. There are some uncomfortable realities in our society that we must squarely face, and we got to remember that being comfortable was never the goal. Difficulties come in all forms, but they do come, and that is the point, isn't it? Don't be surprised, Paul says. Don't be unsettled by them. He says, you're destined for such troubles. We all are. Troubling times will come to each of us soon enough. And when things get shaken, it reveals those weak points I talked about. It especially reveals our root system on what we had actually been relying and building our lives on and nourishing our lives with. And we discover that anything we were building our life on or planting our roots in that isn't God is pretty unstable and unreliable. In fact, only God is unshakable. So we have to keep planting ourselves in Him. In times of stress, we can get weak and our roots can get shallow. This reminds me of something that just happened this past week at our house. We have this beautiful tree in the backyard. This was our third spring in the house. And those first two springs, this tree was a delight to watch bloom each year. But this year, it started to leaf, and then it stopped dead, literally. And what we've since learned by having someone out to look at the tree is that its roots had been rotting for some time. And now what was happening underneath that we didn't see was becoming evident. It was dead, and it was fruitless, and it was unstable. In fact, I removed the entire tree. That's a photo of me standing next to it, which as I look at it, I think looks kind of goofy. It's like I look like I'm proud that I killed or hunted this tree. I'm not sure what's happening. I'm sure my neighbors are thinking, what on earth is this guy doing? but I will go to any lengths for a good sermon illustration. And so here I am by the dead tree, just so you can see how tall it was. Obviously, I've cut all the main branches off of it, but I was able to remove that tree in a couple of minutes with my bare hands because the root system was virtually gone. Now, this is a sermon unto itself, one I've preached before and will likely preach again. Our root systems and where we plant the roots of our character and our living are hugely important. So friends, hear me. Don't let things rot underneath during these trying times that we're in, only to become evident months from now. Don't neglect your roots and where they're growing. See, Paul planted something, and he was hopeful that it had taken root and taken root well. He hoped it had grown strong and solid enough to withstand the storms and the blight that it now faced. He says in verse 5, "That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless." I want you to know, believer in Jesus, that you have more power than you know, that there is greatness in you you've yet to realize. And this isn't some feel-good, self-help, everything's rosy kind of thing that I'm trying to say here. I'm saying that when you and I get up in the morning, there is a wind in our face that wants to keep us down. Down emotionally, down mentally, down in our fruitfulness and in our productivity, down in our drive and in our creativity, down in the mouth about others, getting us to believe we're down on our luck. It wants to persuade us to lower our expectations, lower our gaze, lower our standards, and lower our worth. It's the ways, this wind that I'm talking about, it's the ways of this fallen world, coupled with the wiles of Satan and his forces, finding traction wherever they can in our old and dying sinful nature. All of that combining and conspiring together to slow our spiritual progress, cancel our godly ambitions, and convince us that good enough is good enough. And it's against this wind, this gravitational pull, that we must rise and walk day after day. That there is within us a spirit and a power, a faith and a joy that Jesus Himself, by His Holy Spirit, lives within us. And we can say to ourselves each day, say to anyone who will listen, say to the demons and distractions and discouragements that face us, "Greater is He who is in me than he who is in this world. He must become greater. I must become less. I am more than a conqueror, and nothing can separate me from the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ, my Lord." Paul was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of his friends, but he hadn't. And we can say today that the tempter won't get the best of us, not by a long shot. Paul says in verse 6, "But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love." Now, this is really cool, actually, because Paul is using the same word here for good news, or that we can sometimes translate gospel, that is used when we share the good news of Jesus with others. So he's saying, essentially, we brought the good news to you, and now through Timothy, we're getting good news from you. Same word. This season of trial is a moment of truth, a moment that we can tell each other the truth, remind each other of what's true and good and right. And that's what Paul is receiving here. See, we preach the gospel to each other. We share the good news of Jesus with each other in our living and in our examples. We keep the faith. See, maybe I was thinking about putting it down, but I see you've still got yours. You've kept the faith. I will too. You're still holding high the banner. You're still wearing the jersey. You're still on the team. I'll do that too. you are still choosing joy. You're still looking up. You're still believing in the power of prayer. Still showing love to those who it'd be easier to hate. Still speaking about justice when it'd be more comfortable to stay quiet. I will too. You're still quoting Scripture. You're still worshiping. You're still sharing and giving and serving. I will too. We preach the gospel to each other, and we need that. Paul says, he, speaking of Timothy, reports that you always remember our visit with joy, that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we've been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in the faith. I like this, this formula here. It's pretty simple and straightforward, and it might be easy to overlook or underestimate, but we shouldn't. We have been greatly encouraged because you have remained strong in your faith. Again, we said it a week or two ago, your faith is not just for you. When you and I remain strong in our faith, it is an encouragement to others. When we start to slide, it's not hard to pull others down with us. See, encouragement, there's a chain reaction of encouragement, a reinforcing loop of strength. And honestly, that's what a good, healthy New Testament church should feel like. A place that the closer I get to it, the more connected I become in it, I am in this reinforcing loop of strength. I get stronger by the example of others. I end up making other people stronger by my example. And on and back and forth it goes. But we have to decide, each of us individually, that wherever we go, whatever space we're in, whether we're online or in our social media account, or we're at work, or we're in traffic, or we're in line at the store, or wherever we might be, that we will be an encourager and not a discourager. We have the choice to be either, and it's up to us. Paul says in verse 8, it gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. One translation puts it like this, for now we really live. This is a guy who pours his life out for the gospel. I mean, he's been threatened and practically beaten to death more than once. He's been in jail. He goes from town to town being persecuted and hated. So death is always knocking at his door. But it was this kind of encouragement that made him have a new lease on life. Now we really live, he says. And how does that happen? By the example and the encouragement of his Christian brothers and sisters. How can we best encourage each other? Well, let's stand firm, for starters. Let that be my encouragement to you in this season where things can get a little slippery and uncertain and shaken and unstable. Stand firm. We really are giving life to each other when we do. Paul was feeling at a loss because he wasn't able to stay in touch with how his congregation is doing. I understand that now like never before. He desired more than anything that they remain strong and stand firm. And I badly want the same for each of you. I'm reminded of this moment as I wrap up here where Jesus turns to Simon Peter and he says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, Jesus says. I want you to know that we're praying for you here at Outlook. Your elders, your pastors, we're praying for you. Jesus turns to Simon Peter and says, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And then he says, when you've turned back, do what? Strengthen your brothers, he says to him. Be an encouragement to others. So please hear me, friends. I don't want your faith to fail. And if you've been feeling as though you're sliding back, sliding off, sliding away, reach out. We're here for you, and today can be a new day set in a new direction. It's so very important that we stand firm and stay fruitful. So much is at stake, more than we usually realize, our families, our futures. So let's make this season of trial our moment of truth. Let's make the most of it to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word today. We ask, God, that as we are encouraged by it, you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be an encouragement to others too. And Lord, I pray for everyone who's watching this video, who can hear my voice, that as they've been going through whatever it is that they've had to endure in these recent weeks and months, I pray for their faith, that it will not fail. I pray for their roots, that they would be grounded in you, not wrapped around unstable things or shaky philosophies or the fickle ways of this world. But you, Lord, our rock, our stable, loving Father. I pray for them, Lord, that they would find you in the midst of whatever it is they're facing, that they would know that they have a family in Outlook that loves them, and that we are here for each other. Help us to be a reinforcing loop of strength and encouragement. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.